Going to be again looking at prayer once again this morning, and we'll be starting a new a book in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be going through some of the Psalms and some life experiences that we can learn from that book. But I think when I think of prayer, I think, you know, it's one of the most, should I say, under-preached subjects. You know, in when we think of the Christian life and Christian faith, I mean, we have to learn to pray. Christians have to learn to pray, and I'm not sure if we pray as much as we should. I'm not sure if we pray as much as Christians used to pray. I know I read a lot of stuff from Christians years ago who prayed 3, 4, 5 hours a day. You're saying, Pastor, I haven't got time to pray 3, 4, 5 hours a day. I know, because we're so busy today. Isn't it wonderful? We've got all these labor-saving devices, but we don't have any time. Eh? Amen? Could you imagine if you had to come to church this morning in horse and buggy, when you would have to leave? I think the Adams would have to leave yesterday morning. Could you imagine, ladies, you had to go home and you had to take all your laundry and you had to go down to the river and wash it all by hand on a washboard or rocks or something, and then bring it all back up and hang it and wait for it to dry? Or imagine if we didn't have the convenience of just, you know, oh, let's just grab a quick bite to eat. We've got all of the labor-saving devices in the world, but we have no time to pray today. We have no time for anything important. And we've got to learn again to incorporate prayer into our lives and into our discipline as Christians. And we looked a little bit last week about how to pray and what really are the fundamentals of that. And I'm going to kind of continue on that theme this morning. The first thing we want to look at again is who can pray? Who can pray? And you might say, well, Pastor, anyone can pray. Well, anyone can pray, but we're going to look at, again, qualifications for prayers and answered prayers. There are some people whose prayers God does not hear. God does not hear. And when we think about this, the person who is praying, that person that God does not hear, is the person who has no real connection with God and thus has no claim to God. I was talking there with Cindy just a little bit ago. She sent me an email from the church that she used to go to, where one of the leaders is saying, you know, that, well, we got to sympathize with all of our Muslim brothers and sisters. And again, this is the idea that I preached on a little while ago of the one God error in the church today, where we all have one God. We all serve the same God. And people are calling it Chrislam. You know, it's Christian and Islam God. I mean, we're all the same God. We serve the same God as everyone else. And when we think about that, there's an idea or an error that people have known as what we call universalism, and that's the universal fatherhood of God. Is God everyone's father? No. God is not everyone's father. Now, if I was in a mall or somewhere in public and I was walking along, and I was a little kid, and I seen Keith coming, and he was a grown man, and I was just, you know, like 4 or 5 years old, and I went up to him, and I said, hey, Daddy, right, can I have $5? And he'd say, who are you? I'm not your dad. Would he give me $5? Okay, I'm going over to Marcel. Would Marcel give me $5? He'd say, "What? Whose kid are you? I don't owe you $5. You're not my child, and even if you were, I wouldn't give you $5 anyways. I'm Baptist and Scottish and cheap." Now you probably wouldn't, amen. But the idea is, we don't believe in the universal fatherhood of God. There's a lot of very religious people out there that are trying to connect with God, that are trying to reach God, but the line is cut. It's been severed. There's no communication, and that's something we're going to look at here. Look at Psalms chapter 24, and I will say this as well. Not only do we have to be saved, we've got to be a Christian. We've got to have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even as a Christian, there's some qualifications before we can pray and before our prayers are answered. And we can't live all week long without God. And then when we have a crisis or we have a situation or we have a struggle or a trial in our life, to suddenly get on our knees and say, God, you know, God, remember me. You know, I'm that guy that I remember I prayed a few years ago and accepted you as Savior, and, you know, now I have a real bad need, and God's going to say again, who are you? I used to know you, but there has to be some reconciliation if something has severed our relationship with God. And so Psalms chapter 24, and I'll get somebody to read verses 3 and 4 there, please. Okay, and we can look at, other scriptures as well. God does not hear the prayers of unbelievers or unsaved people, first of all. The Bible says I want to turn to this scripture as well. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59. And we get somebody to read verse 2 there. Okay, so again, he will not hear. And if we were to look at John chapter 9 and verse 31, the Bible says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. And so again, God, in his goodness, according to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, sometimes chooses to answer the prayer of the unsaved, but God does not have to answer since they have no, saving relationship with God. They are not his children. And people, as I mentioned, are very religious. There's a lot of people who are going through the motions but don't have a connection with God. And all of the things that people try to do to make the connections, they don't work. There's only one connection between man and God, and that man is Christ Jesus. That is our mediator. Christ is our, He is our balm, if you will, that brings us to God. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that wholeheartedly. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We'll actually look at that in a little minute. God will answer certain prayers of the unsaved. And again, we will look at that. So, but again, as we look at generally speaking, the lives of unsaved, answers to prayer don't come. God does, yes, give us, God does give the unsaved the open door for salvation. And the Bible says that we are the sons of God, and we have the right to go directly to the president of the universe because we are his sons. And when we think about that, it's a great privilege. I mean, if we would just simply stop and consider the fact that we are the sons of God, we're his children. We are his sons and we are his daughters. That's enough to it should just get us thrilled and excited to think that we're the son of royalty. We're the son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is an extremely great privilege. And it's a great privilege. So when we think about that, let's make sure that we are... I knew something wasn't right there. So, again, a great privilege. There's one prayer, again, sorry, getting back to what you were saying, there is a prayer that the sinner can pray that God will hear. And again, the Bible says, again, call unto me and I will answer thee and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And the Bible talks about calling upon the name of the Lord. And, you know, I believe salvation is a profession of faith. It can and certainly is most commonly done in a prayer, praying to accept Christ as our Savior, praying, Lord, save me, I accept you, profess his name. But again, in Luke chapter 8, 18 and verse 13, a sinful publican, or a tax collector prayed a prayer, and another individual, a very religious person, prayed, and we know this scripture, at least I believe we all know this scripture, where one of them, the publican, the sinner, beat his chest and wouldn't even, the Bible says, look up into heaven and said, Father, forgive me, a sinner. And the other guy, oh, bragging, God, I've done this for you, I've done that, I'm such a religious person. And the Bible tells us that God only heard one of those prayers, and whose prayer was it? The sinner's prayer, the unsaved person, again, seeking the forgiveness. And again, yeah, absolutely, I believe even in my own life, and I think back, it brought back memories when you mentioned that, because I remember I was a seeking sinner. And I remember asking God, as an unsaved person, God, show me the truth. I remember praying that God would help me to do His will when it came to the Word of God. When I was searching, I mean, I most of you heard my testimony. I was doing Bible studies with various groups, and some of them were telling me I had to be baptized to be saved. Some were telling me I didn't. Some were telling me this. Some were telling me you could lose it. I was getting more confused than a termite in a yo-yo, and I was praying, God, you've got to show me the truth. You know, and show me the truth. And God, yeah, God does hear the prayer of a believer or an unbeliever who's seeking truth. God does not hear the prayer of a believer, though, who's living with sin in his life. Again, the Bible says in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So there's one prayer, however, that the sinning believer can pray that God will hear. And that one prayer that the sinning believer would pray would be a confession and a plea for forgiveness. Lord, I have sinned and done this evil in thy sight, according to Psalms chapter 51 and verse 4. And we've got to confess our sins. So, yes, we may say, yeah, the unsaved person doesn't have a connection with God, but neither does a Christian who's committing a sin. Now, when we think about sin too, people will think automatically, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good in my Christian life. I mean, I'm not drinking, I'm not going to the pubs, I'm not, you know, doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not, you know, I'm not doing what a lot of other Christians are doing, and you know, so I think, you know, I've got no sin in my life. Well, first of all, we do. Everyone has sin in their life. But we sometimes forget, again, to consider the sins of omission. Yeah, sure, we may not be going to the bars, or sure, we may not be listening to rock music, or doing this or doing that, but are we omitting things that we're supposed to do? Because that's sin, just as much as the other things are sin. And so not putting God first in our life, not giving Him the preeminence, we've got to be sensitive to sin, and we've got to be sensitive to wickedness in our lives. The believer who is right with God can expect to have his prayers heard. Let's look at John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. And we'll read verse 7 there, first of all, of John chapter 15. The Bible says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So there, again, we see a Christian who is in fellowship with God will have answered prayer. Look at verse 14 and 15. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. So again, he heareth us. There's communication. God will do those things. And when we think about this, we should be at home in God and in God's Word, and God's Word should be at home in us as well. The Bible certainly has plays a large part in our prayer life as well. We've got to have the Word of God in our hearts when we pray, and in order to pray effectively, again, if he said there, if ye continue in my Word, in John chapter 8 and verse 31, and then John chapter 15 and verse 7 that we just read there, he says, if ye abide in me, and look at this, my words abide in you, then, he says, when you ask, you will receive. So the Word of God in us is a vital part of prayer. It's like the foundation of prayer as well. Having a knowledge and a personal knowledge of the Scriptures as well will help us to pray effectively, knowing what to pray for, even when to pray. The believer has an open invitation into God's presence. And again, this is one of the greatest things that we can, again, consider as children of God, as sons of God. You know, we think about the Queen, you know, how many of us would find it a great privilege to come into the presence of the Queen? You know, if we took a trip over to England and, you know, we decided, hey, listen, let's go to Buckingham Palace and we would just go on in there and we'll go talk to the Queen, sit down and have a tea with her. You know, so yeah, hey, that's not a bad idea. We get there, knock on the door. Do you think they're going to let us in? Yeah, sure, come on in. Who are you? But do you think if maybe Charles or Harry or what's the other guy's name? William and that new baby that they just had. I don't follow the royal family too much. I know they're big in the tabloids and all. But I know one of them just had our little Archie, you know, they came to the door with little Archie. Said, "Can we come and see the Queen? You think they're going to get in?" You know, hey, yeah, absolutely, come on in. So we as God's children, we can knock on the door of God's throne, and God says you can come in. We have that invitation, and it's a great invitation. And the Bible says, as sons of God, that we can come before Him. When we think of this, again, now that we know we can come before the throne of God, we looked at a little bit about this last week, about what we can pray for. And the Bible says that there are certain things we shouldn't pray for. There are certain things we should pray for. But again, when we pray, it involves confession. We talked about last week starting off with our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's the idea there. Again, we should begin our prayers with thanksgiving to God and reverence to His name. We got to come to God, first of all, realizing He is a King. Yes, He's going to let us in the door and probably greet us with a big hug and all of that, but He's a King. He's the Lord of Lords and the Kings of Kings. And we've got to, first of all, come with respect. And then we've got to make sure, again, like we've already looked at, that there is nothing separating between us and Him. We've got to make sure that we're clean, and that's where we confess, Lord, you know, I had a bad thought yesterday. Lord, I'm not as faithful as I should be. Lord, I'm not this. God, forgive me and help me to overcome. And then we can move forward. God, help me to be more obedient, whatever it may be. And then we praise God. Again, this is like we looked at again last week. This is praising God for what He's done for you. What has God done for you this week that you could praise Him for? What's He done for you? Okay, he's given us food. Amen. Are you glad for your food? Amen. Looks like some of you are very thankful for their food. Amen. What else can we thank God and praise God for? What can we praise Him for? Health? Air? Salvation? There's got to be someone else to answer a question. Nothing. But okay, what else can we be thankful for? For His love for us. For family. For church. For our country. There are so many things that we can thank God and praise Him for. We can just praise God for His excellence. We find that throughout the Psalms. Praising God for His excellence. Praising God for being who He is. And we can praise Him. And again, praise and thanksgiving are certainly so important. And then again, intercession. This is praying for others. You know, it's not, Lord, would you help me to overcome something? Or Lord, would you help me to have wisdom in my daily finances or in this? Or Lord, I have a need. Would you help me in this area? Intercession, again, is praying for other people or other things. And again, a long list. We can pray for other believers in our church. We can pray for our missionaries. We can pray for our pastor, our Sunday school teachers. Pray for school teachers. Pray for unsaved friends and family members. We can pray for, wait for it, our prime minister and our political leaders. Amen. We can pray for so many things in regards to other people. How many people are praying for someone to be saved? How many people are praying that we would live a quiet and peaceable life, praying for our leader to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior? And again, as we looked at last week, we can pray anywhere, even at the bottom of a well. Amen? We can pray anywhere, no matter where we are. And when we pray as well, We gotta realize that we have to pray with our hearts. I want us to look at this verse in Psalms chapter 62. Psalms chapter 62. Okay, Psalms chapter 62 and verse 8, the Bible says there, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Look at this. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And again, that word Selah at the end means, you know, meditate on what has just been said. And the Bible says there that we are to pour out our what? Our hearts. Have you ever just gotten on your knees and you poured out your heart to God? You just poured out your heart. When's the last time you wept when you prayed? I think if you're pouring out your heart, I've prayed many, many, many times over the years where I've wept. There are certain things in life sometimes that are just urgent, or when our hearts are broken, or when life just, again, has brought something into our lives. I remember pouring out my heart to God to save my mom. When you know the time is coming quickly where she was going to be taken into eternity, there are many times we should pour out our hearts. And I'm saying this because our prayers should not be just, again, the Bible calls it a vain repetition, where, you know, we're just speaking. And the heathen, according to the Bible, they think that they're going to be heard because of their much speaking. They'll sit down and they will pray over and over and over and over and over again. Just keep repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. Because they think if they keep saying it over and over again, it's like, you know, the little kid coming to his dad, Can I have it? Finally, Dad just can't take it anymore. He gives him the $5. Amen. And you know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to, listen, I think if we pray one prayer with our hearts and pouring out to God in sincerity, that is going to be heard longer or far more than 50 or 60 prayers that are empty. And, well, I just had to do my duty, or I just had to get my prayer over this morning. Just had to make sure that I'm not missing, or the preacher will be on me, or whatever it may be. Don't want to miss out on my prayer time. And we've got to make sure that we're pouring our hearts out. The best way, people ask this question, I've been asked this question before, how do we pray? What's the best way to learn how to pray? You know, the best way to learn how to pray is to pray. Well, you know, I don't know if I know how to pray. You know, the Bible gives us a formula again. The Lord gave us He gave us an example prayer. When He asked His disciples asked Him, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, when you pray, this is the ingredients. These are the things that you pray for. This is the way it should be. God's given us that. But there's no magical formula. There's no words. And you know, I prayed with people, you know, who praying, and they're using, you know, all these eloquent words and all of, you know, this trying to make their language so nice and poetic and all this other stuff. And you know what? If that person praying from the heart, praise God. Amen. Because I think praying can lift our minds to a greater level. But I believe that you can learn a lot about somebody when you pray with them, and you can find out even a lot about their prayer life. You know, and have you ever seen, or you've been there when your kids were little, teaching them how to ride a two-wheeler? Amen. Have you ever been there? Sending them off. Four times I remember going through that. Sending them off for the first time without training wheels or hanging on to the back. And the one time, I can't remember which one it was, but I think it was Matthew. And we were over at the school in the parking lot. And I said, okay, I'm going to be holding the back of the seat. So, by the way, you want to get in shape, teach a kid how to ride a bike. I'm running behind that bike for like half an hour, chasing after him. And all of a sudden, I thought, you know what, he's doing pretty good. I'm just going to let go. And so I let go. And so he keeps going. And he says, I can hear him, Dad, we're doing pretty good, eh? Yeah, we're doing really good. And then he realized I wasn't holding it anymore, and he wiped out. He panicked. He was doing great until I let go, or until he realized I let go. But I've said all that to say this. You know, when we pray, it can become obvious that we're still in the training wheel stage. You know, because we're not praying. We're our prayer life is non-existent. And you know, when you see a kid get on a bike and trying to ride for the first time, you can look at what they're doing and you can say, hey, you know, that guy's not got a lot of experience. He hasn't been on a bike too much. And when we pray, we're learning how to pray. We're getting better at praying. And you know, when we come to God, we should be experienced in prayer. And when we get there, you know, when we get there, we should be pretty smooth in our prayer life. We should be able to do it naturally. I know a lot of people say, well, I don't like praying in public. I don't like, you know, I don't mind maybe praying with a couple of people in a group, but to get in front of a big audience or a big crowd and to pray in front of everyone, you know, man, I my knees shake, and as soon as they even think about it, I get a sweat, you know. And some people have a hard time praying where people can hear them. And if somebody has a hard time with that, I usually just say, listen, I first of all, I was there, you know. Even when I pray now, it's still something that, just like preaching the Word of God, it's something you should do with reverence. I mean, it's a serious thing, again. But when we think about public prayer, we shouldn't be thinking about the people that we're praying with. It's not them, it's God, right? And it's like we think people are out there and they've got like a little, you know, list of things. I'll only give them an 8 on that. Inflection, well, no, they only got a 3. Inflection was really bad. Well, they didn't use any, you know, 4-syllable words, so they're only going to get, you know, this score. You know, nobody's keeping score. And again, we're praying to God. And so when we think about that, we gotta pray, pouring out our hearts. And if you're saying, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Well, if you want to learn how to pray, just pray. Just pray. Get on your face, get on your knees, and just pray to God. Amen. And you'll learn. You'll find after a while that it's as natural as riding a bike is to you now, or whatever it may be. You just simply got to do it. Prayer time isn't show time. Prayer is between the believer and God. It's not about others, as I mentioned. Prayer in public should be short, again, as well. But private prayer, or even being in the prayer closet, that's where you'd spend an hour. We were at another church last year, and we were there for midweek Bible study and prayer meeting, so we went up to pray. Bless this guy's heart. Man, he prayed for his cat and his bike, and he prayed for everything. And I thought, well, you know, I'm looking at my watch and I'm thinking, well, this guy's got a more devoted prayer life than I do, because he believes that God's going to answer those prayers. Amen. He must, or he wouldn't be praying them. There's a time where we just pour out our hearts and we pray to God and thank God, praise God, ask Him to help us, ask Him to teach us, ask Him to help us to witness to people. People say, well, you know what? I don't know how to witness to people. Well, do you know how you got saved? Yes. Well, then you know how to tell people how to get saved. Just tell them how you got saved. And you know, we can pray, though, that God will help us to be able to tell other people about Christ. And praying for deliverance from sin. There's so many different things we can pray for. Pray that God will do great things in your life. We think about why we should pray, and this is a lot of times people ask this: why should we pray? Why do I need to pray for even an hour a day, or 3 hours, or 5 hours? And also, when we think about prayer, does God know? Does God know what we need? When I say, you know, God, my mom isn't saved, and I'm praying that you would save her, does God know my mom's not saved? Does God want my mom saved? Yes, He does. When we pray, God, you know, I need a job, or God, I have a need. Are we making God aware of our need? He's going, man, I had no idea you needed that. No, He does. So we say, well, why pray if God already knows that? Well, prayer is not for God's benefit. Again, prayer is not informing God of certain things. Prayer is for the believer's benefit. Prayer teaches me so many different things. It teaches me, first of all, how helpless and in need we truly are, and how dependent we should be on the Lord. We learn how selfish and ungrateful that we would be if we didn't give God thanks as well. You know, one of the things the Bible talks about, the marks of the last day, is that people would be unthankful. Do we live in a generation today? Do we live in a time, in a day, in an age when people are unthankful? I cannot believe how unthankful people are. Sometimes me. You know, we're just not thankful. We've learned to just demand. And this Tim Hortons across the road here, I've only been there twice. But the last time I went in there for a tea and there was nobody else in line, I waited 15 minutes for my tea. And, you know, what's the first thing we do if we go to a drive-through and things aren't as fast as we like? What do? We complain. Who are we complaining to? Who are we usually complaining to? Anyway, poor Marissa in the back seat. Oh, that's Tim Hortons, or maybe it's your wife, or maybe, you know, you just got nobody in the car and you're just complaining. Amen. But why do we do that? Why do we complain? And then we complain, little guy complains, Mom, I hate spinach and I hate cauliflower and I hate this and I hate that. And then Junior, would you pray for the food? Lord, I'm so thankful for the food. Really? Are you thankful for it? And we thank God for Tim Hortons, and we thank God that we have tea to drink. Amen. Some countries in the world, you got to use your tea bag 5 or 6 times because you can't afford another one. And we've got so much in our country that we're unthankful for what we have. And, you know, again, asking people, what can we be thankful for? What can we praise God for? We're all like, you know, well, I praise God, you know, I went to the dentist. I don't have any cavities. Well, praise God, I was able to go to the dentist. Praise God, we have dentists. Amen. Well, you know, I went to the doctor and I had, you know, a pretty good checkup. And praise God, we have doctors. Praise God that we have air conditioning. And after a couple of Sundays ago, praise God that we have heat. Amen. And we just take things for granted. Thank God for family. Amen. Oh, if you knew what I had to put up with, you wouldn't be too thankful. Well, you know what? We all have things to put up with. Amen. We are all sinners. And we just put up with each other. We love each other. And we should be thankful for what we have. And I think when you have everything given to you, and we do in Canada, we have everything given to us with a semi-socialistic government. I mean, our government gives us anything. Now, kids under, young people under 25, I think it is, get all the drugs free, and it's if they're still living at home, and we don't have to go to the cashier after a grandbaby's born. Amen. We don't have to pay for that. We don't have to pay for being in the hospital. I think when we were at the hospital there, I only caught it out the corner of my ear there. I don't know if my ears have corners, but you know what I mean. But Justine was talking, like, you know, she was saying, like, you know how much it would be if we had this baby in the States, C-section? Like, I think she was saying, like, $10,000 to $15,000 U.S., and, you know, we just take for granted that we can go to the hospital. It doesn't cost us anything. Amen. At least you never used to. Now you got to pay for crutches and stuff like that. But we still complain. Let's just be thankful. But, again, God has told us to pray as well. God has told us to pray. We have an invitation to come, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 19 that we are to enter in. And also in Hebrews 10:22, we're to draw near. There's a command that says that we're to ask and we're to seek and we are to knock. God commands us to pray. It's not an option. It's a privilege and an obligation in our Christian life. We should pray. And again, looking at that from last week, we should pray always, praying always without ceasing. How can you pray without ceasing? Well, you pray. It's an attitude of prayer, and even in your mind, continuing to pray, pray without ceasing. I don't know if it necessarily means that every single moment of every day, but what it's, I think the idea here is don't stop praying. Don't stop praying today. Don't stop praying tomorrow. Keep praying. Pray without ceasing. Keep going to church. It'd be like saying, go to church without ceasing. It doesn't mean you're supposed to be there 24 hours, but when the church doors are open, go. Amen? Pray without ceasing. Every time we have an opportunity, pray and seek God. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, the Lord prayed when he was alone. The psalmist in Psalms chapter 55 and verse 17 prayed evening, morning, and noon. Daniel prayed how many times a day? It's got to be three. Sorry, Marcel. Three times a day. He prayed three times a day. Do you have a specific time when you pray? And let's look at this verse and then we'll be dismissed. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 4 and 5. Can I get somebody to read those? Okay, first of all, I want us to understand what Paul is instructing Timothy. There was a lot of controversy in the early churches about what they could and couldn't eat because the Greeks were sacrificing things to idols. The Jews weren't allowed to eat pork and seafood and different things. And so we know that God opened the door that we can eat anything. Not anything or some things you don't want. But anyways, we have the liberty to eat. And so that's what he's saying here. He's saying for every creature of God is good. All that God has created is good. You know, peas and Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, liver. So we'll just stop right there. It's good and not to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So I'm just going to ask this question. Should we pray before meals? Absolutely. We should pray before meals. And that's what the Bible teaches us, that we pray before we receive food into our bodies. And the Bible says that it will be sanctified if it is prayed over. And we should pray and be thankful for our food every day. Many things that we can pray for. Read your Bible. Pray every day and you'll grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink in your Christian life. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed in the morning service. Father, thank you for this time together. Help us again as Christians to understand our need to pray. And so would you, for your glory, bless us as we go into the morning service. We'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen.